Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, July 28th, 2019. Pastor Paul Tolbert.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God's word for our meditation is from Luke chapter 10. Before I read this, Jesus loves everybody. Of all the people that Jesus loved, he got close to 72 of them, and he sent them out. Of those 72, he got really close to 12. We call them the apostles. Of those 12, he got really close to 3, Peter, James, and John. Of those 3, get really close to 1. Does that mean that Jesus loves that 1 more than everybody else? No, not at all. It just lets us know that there is this thing called personalities, and even the Lord, who was made like us in every way, he got along really well with one guy. But that doesn't mean that he doesn't love us, because that's what he sent out the 72 for. And that's what we're looking at today. Jesus sent out the 72 to proclaim peace to the people. And Jesus sends them out empty-handed. God provides an opportunity to respond to God's goodness by sharing all good things with God's messengers. What a privilege to carry and to receive such good news. What joy to see the word at work. As messenger or hearer, what an exciting truth. God has each believer's names recorded in heaven. If that doesn't pick up your day, I do not know what will. He says, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them out 2 by 2 ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. Go your way. I am sending you out as lambs among wolves. Do not carry a money bag or a traveler's bag or sandals. Do not greet anyone along the way. Whenever you enter a house, first say peace to this house. And if a peaceful person is there, your peace will rest on him. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in that same house, eating and drinking what they give you, because the worker is worthy of his pay. Do not keep moving from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they welcome you, eat what's set before you. Heal the sick who are in the town and tell them the kingdom of God has come near you. But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, even the dust from your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom on that day than for that town. Whoever listens to you, listens to me. Whoever rejects you, rejects me. And whoever rejects me, rejects the one who sent me. The 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. He told them, I was watching Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Look, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will ever harm you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names have been written in heaven. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our defender. Amen. Today we're looking at God's plan again, his great plan to rescue people. And this is summertime. If you're watching online, this is summertime in Wisconsin, in the Midwest, United States of America. It's hot, humid. But summertime is a time when people go on vacations. Now, when you go on vacation, you have a bag, you put stuff in your bag, or a couple bags, and you have to learn what to put in your bag, right? When the congregation sent us down to Puerto Rico, Mrs. T and I had to learn how to pack because we didn't know. You cannot take the entire house with you. You have to be selective. You have to take clothes. You have to take shoes, socks, underwear, all that kind of stuff. You have to take a toothbrush, toothpaste, all those things. And if you're going to go play somewhere, you have to take play clothes. If you're going to do some business, you got to take your computer, your tablet, your cell phone. Kind of a lot of stuff. If you're going to a dangerous place, if you're a soldier going overseas, you better make sure you have your guns and your ammo and your protective gear. Whenever you travel, go from place to place, and especially if you're sent somewhere, you always carry something with you. That's what makes Jesus' words here so fascinating for someone who's not a believer and so amazing for us who do believe in him. Because God's plan is all about rescuing people. When he wrote down his word and gave it to his disciples, they knew their Bibles better than most of us know. I can't speak for you, but I don't know my Old Testament very well. I've been working at it and working at it, trying to learn it as well as I know my New Testament, and it just is a hard go for me, just as I'm sure for many of you. But when that is all of God's word that you have, just the promises, in the Old Testament, before Jesus came, they knew their old Bibles really, really good. Those Old Testaments, they knew all about Moses and the prophets, all the prophecies that come out. So when Jesus sent them out two by two, the first thing that probably came to their mind is, oh, that's how God created the animals. Two by two, male and female. Oh, that's how God made Adam and Eve. That's so cool. That's how God got people and animals into the ark two by two. Oh, the ark, that reminds me, yeah. The earth was sinful because Adam and Eve trashed God. They decided to go their own way. They thought they could be their own gods, and they rebelled against him, and so they entered death, and they brought death into the whole planet, and everybody was violent and wicked and terrible. So God finally wiped the planet clean, except for Noah and his family and the animals that went on two by two. Wow. That all comes to mind when you hear that they're sent out two by two. But when that starts to come to mind, then you remember, well, there's 72 of them that went out. In the nations that are listed after the flood, 72. So he is teaching them with a lesson, a child's lesson. By the way, this is how you do it. Two by two, go to the world. And they did. And they went to every place that Jesus was going to go, which tells us that God has in mind to go places. Now, we have Ecuador on our minds because of that. We have Puerto Rico on our mind because of Dr. Jelly and Didi here today. We have all sorts of people on our mind. We have Nepal on our minds because when Pastor Hartman was here, that's where he went. But God has a great master plan to reach as many people as possible before that last day comes. And his purpose, he sends them out two by two. It shows that God cares. God wants to provide some credibility for them. And also shows that he wants them to be confident. When you are standing alone, sometimes it gets scary, and God doesn't have that courage out to everybody. But when you have somebody stand with you, you can sometimes stand easier, no matter what's coming at you. And what are they supposed to do? Go into towns and tell them to shape up because God's coming back. No, you're supposed to go into towns and say, peace, God's kingdom. Hey, God's kingdom, come on, it's God's kingdom. Remember last week, he talked about God's kingdom, right? Your kingdom come in the Lord's Prayer. It's not a physical place. It's God's word working in the hearts of his believers so that we are filled with joy and peace and confidence because our sins have been forgiven, and it was a terrible price that was paid for our sins. God became one of us. God lived in our place. He was tempted in every way like we are tempted, yet God did not fall for any of the Satan's attacks that were out there. Instead, Jesus trusted his heavenly Father perfectly. In fact, when they were nailing him to the cross, Jesus trusted his Father to hear his prayer and say, Father, Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Jesus had perfect faith so that when he came time to pay the final price, he said, Father, into your hands I give my spirit. And he gave up his ghost. He gave up his own soul on our place. Absolute trust. That's a really good thing to know, because you and I don't have absolute trust. Our faith is weak and wobbly. Our faith is like a little flickering light on a little candle. But God says, Jesus says, he will not quench a little flickering light. He's going to protect it. And that's exactly what he does. He gives peace. And then these guys come back after doing what Jesus said to do. And then comes something that I would do if I was in that confirmation class. You know, it was a confirmation class, large confirmation class. Jesus said, do this. And guess what, everybody? It worked. Just like Jesus said. They would go up to a demon and they say, get out of that person. And the demon would leave. So they're seeing that God was working through them, and they got all excited, as you should. And oh man, that's so cool. And Jesus said, you know, guys, need to think a little bit. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I am the eternal God. Don't rejoice that the defeated spirits listen to you. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Not my position, Pastor Tolberg. Not my position in my family, husband, papa, father. No. My name. All the personal battles that I've been involved with, all of those things that cause me grief or joy or wonder, all of those things are part of me. And God says, I got you covered. I want you to have peace. You need to know this. Your name is written in heaven. So now you get back to that thing and see God's plan, okay? God's purpose. And then we took a little pause to remind ourselves that, oh, that's good news. Jesus says to rejoice that your name is written in heaven. But I kind of skipped over rather quickly that he sent them out as lambs among wolves. What does that tell you? Does Jesus like to see you get beat up? Does Jesus like to see you afraid? Remember, who is the good shepherd? So the good shepherd is sending out his lambs among wolves. Well, who's right there then? The good shepherd with his rod and his staff to comfort me and to terrify my enemies, to take care of me so that I will be with him body and soul in heaven. That's the Lord's great promise. You and I, we're living in the last of days, and we're told that we're going to be tempted to become afraid. We're going to look all around us. We're going to be tempted to become cynical and say, well, what's the use? And God says, no, 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 no. I want you to rejoice that your name is written in heaven. And with that little glow in a dark planet, that will get enough people wondering what is going on so that you can tell them, well, I have peace. I know the world's all spinning around, all going crazy, but I have peace that goes beyond this world. I have a peace that goes beyond death, because the one who loves me the most died for me because he wants me in heaven with him. And he didn't stay dead. No, he had promised to come back to life again, so he did. So I know, because he said, because I live, you also shall live. I know I'm good. Because he is going to keep his promise. In his name, so let us live. Amen. And now may God's peace, which goes beyond all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. I want to share with you this little box here. The Lord's people can't help but return thanks. Dear friends of Good Shepherd, God loves to give. God does his work for us with gifts that he gives to us in the first place. That's just how cool God really is. So here at Good Shepherd, we do not charge families for services rendered. Instead, we voluntarily return to our Savior a percentage of his generous gifts first given to us. We thank our Lord and we thank you for your gifts for his use. We freely share why we do what we do. God doesn't want his people bullying anybody into giving. Giving is not about guilt. It's about freedom. So if you're visiting and God moves you to give a gift, thank you. It's in joyful confidence that God's people live, give, serve, and encourage all for Jesus' sake. It doesn't happen like this in any other organization on the planet. God provides for his people through gifts that his people give. It's such a neat thing. We now pause for the gathering of our offerings.